We continue while learning the Nishmas Davi Bemarachim Shemichav Yaakov Bevidachos Leo when Chul in Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph. We're going to be speaking about Tumah. Take the following example. Let's say you have a Sheretz, a dead Sheretz, which is an Ava Tumah, high level of Tumah, and that touches food. So that food becomes Tumah. That food may become Tumah, even it's smaller than the size of an egg. But in order to transmit Tumah from that food that became Tumah to another food, it needs to be the size of a Beitza. Beitza, kebeitza, without its shell, an egg size. And that's in terms of transmitting Tumah. So we start out, let's say, with a dead Sheretz, an Ava Tumah. It touches food, and that food becomes Tumah. That may be even less than a kebeitza. But now that food touches another food. So the second food becomes Tumah if the first food was the size of a kebeitza. And our Mishnah is going to address, let's say you have something that's attached to the food that may have the status of food, may not have the status of food. I'd like to know whether that can join together with the food itself to give the requisite shear in order to transmit Tumah. So let's say you have a piece of food that typically that became Tumah, but it's not the size of Kebeitza. But as the first example in the Mishnah, but we're talking about meat, let's say, there's the skin of the animal, and the skin of the animal, if you put it together with the piece of meat that you have of the animal, it would equal the size of a kebeitza. Can we consider the skin food for this purpose or not? So that's what the Mishnah begins with. Ha'or, skin which is attached to the flesh of an animal that was slaughtered, and the flesh of the animal, the meat, is less than a kebeitza, and the or itself now completes the size of a kebeitza. So the Mishnah here is teaching us a whole list here, but the first on the list is the skin. It is mitzarev with the meat, and the reason for that is that the or, the skin, is a shomer. It guards, it protects the meat that it doesn't get ruined, and therefore will have the status of meat, at least for the purpose of joining with the meat to give it the minimum shear of a kebeitza to transmit tumah to another piece of food. V'harotav. Rotav is gravy. This is, let's say, the congealed gravy. That's also, so it's, since it's congealed, it's attached to the meat. People would not eat this alone. They wouldn't eat the gravy by itself, the congealed gravy, but it is eaten along with the meat. That will join together. So the slice of meat became tumah, and it's not, but it's not the size of a kebeitza, and transmitted tumah to something else. But since there was congealed gravy on that piece of meat as well, that now equals together the size of a kebeitza, indeed that will transmit the tumah to something else. The hakefa, kefa or kippa, is a reference to the spices, let's say garlic or onions that you have, so that you put on the meat in order to improve its taste. It's mixed together with the pieces of meat that will join together with the meat to give it the measure of a kebeitza. V'ha'alal. Alal are the shreds of meat that are attached to the skin of the hide of the animal at time that you flay it. Some say it's referring to some sinew in the neck, which is difficult to eat. Either way, we're pointing out that typically people would not necessarily eat these things alone. But nonetheless, these shreds of meat that are attached to the skin would join together with another piece of meat, which in order to give it the requisite shear of a kebeitza. V'hatzamos, bones that have, as long as they have marrow, and the reason for this is because, either because you would normally, although you wouldn't eat the bones, let's say, alone, but you would eat the bones as part of meat. That's one explanation. And some say, no, we're speaking about the meat itself is the marrow. The marrow certainly counts as meat, but you don't have a shear kebeitza to transmit tumah. But together with the etzem, together with the bone, where the marrow is inside this bone, together with the bone, it equals a kebeitza. So since the etzem, the bone, maybe I don't eat it, but the etzem, I only eat the marrow, but because the etzem protects the marrow, so it's not necessarily ochel, but it's a shomer, and just like the skin of the animal, I don't eat the skin, but it acts as a shomer. So sometimes these are, let's say for example, the rot of the congealed gravy, I wouldn't eat alone, but I would eat along with the meat. So that's why, since you would eat along with the meat, although not alone, it joins together. And they have other things like the skin, and maybe this, the way we explain one shot in the bones, is that it's a shomer, and if it's there to guard it, that also has the status, will join together at least, to give it the status of the meat, to give it the requisite shear. V'hagidim, gidim well, are referred to sinews. We're talking about sinews, obviously, now they get anasha. People wouldn't eat them alone, but they maybe eat them along with the meat. Vahakarnayim. Here we're speaking about the horns of the animal. Why would someone eat that? So the Mishnah is telling us that this is considered secondary to the animal, to the meat, because we're speaking about the horns that are very close to the flesh itself, where if you would cut off that section of the bone right next to the flesh, blood would come out. So that's almost like part of the meat. V'hatzlafayim, the hoofs, same thing, where if you'd cut it off, the hoofs very close to the bottom of the animal, to the foot, where to the flesh of the animal, where if you cut that off, blood would seep out. And some say no, the reason why the karnayim and talafayim are not because there's blood there, it's part of the meat, maybe I'd eat it along with it if it was all cooked together. No, it's because it's a shomer. Just like by etzem, by the bones, we have different ways to understand, is it because I would eat it along with, or because it acts as a shomer? So here we could explain the same thing regarding the horns of the animal and the hoofs of the animal. So says the Mishnah on all of these things. The ore, the skin, the rotif, the gravy, the kefir, the spices, the alah, the shreds of meat, the atzamos, the bones, the gidim, which are sinews, v'hakarnayim, the horns, and slafayim, the hoofs, mitztarfin letame tumas ochlin, avalot tumas nevelos. So we mentioned the first halacha, they join together to equal the kebetza size to be mitame other foods, but they don't become themselves, we don't assume that there's going to be tumas nevelos. Now, what does that mean? A basur nevela becomes tame even if it's the size of a kezias. If there's no kezias, so then it doesn't become tame. So the Mishnah is teaching us that there's a chumra that the tumah, transferring tumah to something else, has over tumas nevela. And that is that, let's say you have a piece of meat that's less than a kezias, and now the animal was, the animal just died, it wasn't shechted properly, so, and the animal came to nevela, the skin of the skin, together with the flesh, will not equal the kezias. It will not help. We're not talking about kebetza here, now we're talking about kezias. Nevela, tumas nevela is kezias. So what happened? You have a little piece of meat, it's a little less than a kezias, but together with the skin, together with the spices, together with the gravy, etc., the bone, it equals a kezias. Says Mishnah, it doesn't become tame. That does not have tumas nevela, and that's not going to be metame anyone who picks it up, who touches it, etc. And then the Mishnah says, kayotze bo. Another example of this, hashochet behema tmeya lenachri umifarcheses. A person shechs a non-kosher animal for, obviously you're not eating yourself, you're doing it for a non-Jew, umivarcheses, which means the animal is still convulsing. So says the Mishnah, at this stage, mitama tomas ochlin avalo tomas nevelos, atche tamus. At this stage, it can be mitami tomas ochlin, which means, if let's say at this point an avatama, dead sheretz again, touch this animal that had been slaughtered, a non-kosher animal had been slaughtered, but it's still convulsing, it didn't completely die just yet. So then we assume that this animal becomes tame and can be mitame other foods, even though this animal is not roy, is not fit for eating, not for a Jew, not for a guy. Why is it not fit for a Jew? Why get it? It's a tummy animal. It's a pig, let's say. But not for a guy. So the answer is because even a non-Jew cannot eat this animal as it's convulsing because it's a problem of Evrim and Achai. So why would I say that this animal is not metame tumas nevelos? So the answer is because it's still convulsing. Now we should ask a basic question. Why are the laws of tumas ochlin, tumo food, apply to a non-kosher animal at all? So the answer is because in this case, since the animal was shechted, normally it would not, but since this tummy animal, this pig, was shechted by a Yisrael, by a Jew, he did a shechita, and we say the following, since the Jew did the shechita of a Yisrael can make a behema, even a behema tameya, like food for a non-Jew regarding the laws of Tumah. The same way his shechita can make a behema tor, a kosher animal like food for a Jew, it can make a behema tameya food for a non-Jew. And for the purposes of what? For Tumah. But so at this stage, it does become food, and therefore it's metame other foods, assuming this became tame itself, dead sheretz touched the animal, this pig, at this stage where it was shechted by a Jew, but it's still convulsing. Avolo tumas nevelos, but tumas nevelos. So the same way we spoke of at the beginning of the Mishnah, when we want to know to draw, how do we get? We want to know. We have a kibetza size. So we said, oh, kibetza size is enough for tumas ochlim. We speak about the ur and the rotav, etc. These things, will they join together to make a kibetza? Yes, for tumas ochlim, but not tumas nevelos. They will not join together to give you the requisite shear of a kezias for tumas nevela. Same thing over here. At this stage, another difference between tumas ochlim and tumas nevelos, at this stage of the shechting of a non-kosher animal, by a Jew, for an ukri, for a non-Jew, and the animal is still going, has the convulsions, where the non-Jew can't eat it just yet, it can become tame from, let's say, a dead sheretz touches it, it becomes tame, and it's metame other foods, but there's no tumas nevela on the animal until the animal actually dies and stops moving around. Oh, another possibility, the Mishnah says, achayatiz es rosha, or if you cut off the head. If you cut off the head, even if the animal's convulsing, we know it's absolutely dead. Halachically, it's certainly dead, and therefore it is metame kenevela at that point. So the Mishnah therefore says, you see from here, riba letame tumas ochlin, mimashe riba letame tumas nevelos. You see that the Torah obviously has more cases where Tumas Ochlim is going to exist more than Tumas Nevelos is going to exist. This is, and what's this based on? So the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamites, Hanogea Binivlasa. So what does that teach us? Nivlasa means the Nevela itself. If you touch the nevela itself, that you become tameh. So that, how much of it? You have to touch a kezias. But it's the nevela itself. That implies not the skin, where there's not a kezias, but you need the skin to join together. That's not true. And so a shomer doesn't join together for tumas nevelos. So would join together for tumas ochlin, not for tumas nevelos. And the same thing with the gravy and the spices. That's not the nevela itself. And alal and gidim, the other things in the Mishnah, the shreds that we said that are attached to the skin, and the rest of the list, atzamos, gidim, that's not basar at all. So that's not part of the nevela. So benivla sa, only the nevela itself. Then the Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda Omer, ha'alala mechunas, im yesh bo kizayis b'malkom echon chayav alav. Rav Yehuda believes if you have the shreds of meat, maybe different. The shreds of meat, flesh that are attached to the skin at the time of the flaying of the animal, and they were mechunas. They're joined together. So if there's a kizayis b'malkom echon, if they join together in one place, the size of a kezias, and they're a nevela, then chayav alav, you are chayav tumas nevelos. So it means if a person touched an animal was a nevela, and a person touched the shreds that are joined together, the size of a kezias, so he would become tameh. Even though we said the shreds before are not, he believes if the shreds are all in one place and he touches them, he becomes tameh. If he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he's kachim, he's b'chayv kares in such a case. Why is this so? So this is where we assume, not that they were anatomically attached, but when you shredded the meat, this person, took of this nevela, brought the shreds of meat together. He's mechunas. He joined them together. So that shows he had megaladas. It shows what was his mindset. His was that he considers it like basar, and therefore it's metame tumas nevelos. But we don't follow him either. That's a minority opinion. Perek Tes, Mishnah Beis, Elu she'orosehem kivsaron. So we mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the or is not considered part of the animal. It's considered a shomer. It will guard the animal, and therefore maybe it'll join together for tumas ochlin and not tumas nevelos. But the following, we assume the or has the status of flesh regarding tuma, and it's automatically included to give you the shear of tuma. And who's on this list? So or ha'adam. The skin of a human being is mitame like his basar, just like the basar of a dead person is mitame so to the skin. Va'ora chazir shel yishuv, and the skin of a domesticated pig, we assume that that's mitame tumas nevelos like a basar. So when it comes to a human being, there's tumas meis. Comes to an animal, so there's tumas nevelos. Here, the chazir of yishuv, the domesticated pig, apparently it has a softer skin and people eat it. And that's why it's considered part of the basar and would automatically be included to give you the requisite shear of a kezias to turn it into a nevela. As opposed to the previous Mishnah where he said where we don't assume the skin is part of the animal to make a kezias. True, to make a kebetza for Tumas Ochlin, not Tumas Nevelos. Here, the skin of a domesticated pig, where the skin is very soft and people eat it, so that is automatically part of the shear and would join together with the flesh to give you the kezias of Nevela, which has the status of Tuma. Rabbi Yossi Omer Af or Chazir Habar. He disagrees. He, with the Tanakam, and says all pigs are in the same category. Even the wild pig, with the Tanakam, felt that the skin of the wild pig is harder, and people don't normally eat it. Says Rabbi Yossi, you know, people eat that as well. Or what else? What is considered the like part of the flesh itself for the purposes of nevela, tumas nevela, af. Or chatoteres shel gamal haraka. It's the skin of the hump of a tender camel. What does that mean? So we assume that says the Gemara says that as long as it hasn't carried a burden just yet, so then we assume the hump is soft. Of this camel, and therefore it's metame, it joins together for Tomas Nevela. V'or harosh shel egel harach, the skin of the head of a tender calf, which means as long as it's still nursing from its mother, the skin of the head of that small calf is like the bus, is like treated like the flesh. V'or haprosos, the skin of the hoofs. Now, what are we speaking of? So the Gemara assumes that we're speaking about the skin itself of the hoofs. And some say, no, we're speaking not about the skin of the hoofs, but rather the skin of the knee, which what we call the arkuva, which is the joint that's sold along with the head. We mentioned this in the past, that they would normally, part of the animal you sell along with the head, you would sell this arkuva, this joint. So that's the or, the skin of that joint is what we're speaking of. So this is a debate in the Gemara. According to Rav, we assume or haprosos means the skin of the hooves that really does really have the status of meat. And according to Rav Chanina, no, it's the arkuva hanemkeresem rosh, which is just a term we used, if you remember, I think in the third perek. That's the lower bone. Remember, the animal has really three bones in the leg. Has the femur, and then the tibia, and then the cannon bone, which is the lower bone. That's the arkuva. That's the joint we're speaking about. That's lower bone. So that means, it sounds like the skin of that has the status of the meat as well. So in all of these cases that we assume, not only go through a few more on this list, but the point is that not only do we say that these, like the skin we're speaking about of some of these animals or whatever I have on this list, now because it's tender, it's like the meat, it joins together to give you the status of the meat itself to give you the kezias that you need. If you don't have a kezias just from the meat itself, but it also means if the animal isn't available and you just touch the skin, you become tame as well. This becomes an avela as well, even though it's not the meat itself. Then what else do we have on this list? V'or beis haboshes. What is beis haboshes? So the Bar Tanura says the place of embarrassment. We have actually in the Torah, two men are fighting and the wife gets involved because her husband is losing the battle there. So it says that v'hechazika b'mevushav. She takes hold of his literally a shameful area. So it says what's beis haboshes? A nice way of saying beis harechem shel nekeva. So this is speaking about the genitals, and it's speaking about specifically of a female animal. So that also, that or, that's considered soft to the extent that it has the status of meat, but therefore joins together with less than a kezias to equal a kezias. Vora shalil, this is the skin of a fetus. If a dead fetus is found in the womb of a dead animal, So whatever tumat nevela the animal has, or the flesh does, so the skin of the shalil does as well. Any part of the skin. Va'or shetachas ha'alya. This is the skin underneath the fat tail, very close to the body, where there's no hair, it's very soft. That's considered like meat as well, like the flesh. Va'or, now we move into the shrotzim that we may know from Parsha Shmini. Va'or ha'anaka v'ha'koach v'alata'a v'ha'chomet. These are, we'll give just one possible translation, although we can't really identify these. The anaka, a hedgehog, koach, chameleon, lita'a, lizard, and chomet, a snail. So these are four of the eight shrotzim the Torah speaks about, which have a high level of tumah when they die. Eight shrotzim, very famous eight shrotzim, and it's discussed as well, Shmona shrotzim, in one of the mesechtos, in one of the prakim of Masechta Shabbos. And what's telling us is that the skin of these lizards, of these rodents, whatever you want to call them, So we know that they convey generally to Masheret. So the point of the Mishnah is telling us is that the skin is so soft that they feel like the flesh. And therefore, whatever Tumah Sheretz these Shrutzim have when they're dead, so the skin as well will transmit tumma as well. But you see from here that the skins of the other four shrotzim on the list are hard, and therefore they're not considered like bust, and they will not convey tumma. And Rabbi Yehuda omer halata'a kachulda. He says lita'a should not be on this list. You had anaka koach lita'a and chomet. He says, now take lita'a off the list. That skin is not soft. That skin is hard like the weasel. And what he means by that is that just like the weasel, there are really four others that don't transmit tumah, where the skin doesn't transmit tumah, and the skin we consider hard, not only the chulda, but he just took the first one on the list as chulda, but it means the other ones on the list, which are the tzav, the achbar, the choled, chulda, and the tinshames. So he says that the lata'ah should be on that list, the list of where the skin does not convey tumah. V'chulan she'ibidan, o shehilech bahen kedei avoda tahorin. So take all of these examples that we just had. All of the skins that we said are considered like flesh. And now they went through the tanning process. So then they don't have the status of flesh of buster anymore. They have status of skin. And therefore it doesn't have tumas nevela, it doesn't convey tuma, whatever, in all of these examples that we gave. So that would be true if you tan them, or you trampled on them, you trotted on them, which is also part of the tanning process. So they weren't completely tan, but you spread them out. And that's part of what we do with skins to make them usable. You step on them. So if you did that, even though these skins normally are treated as flesh, but now you showed you treated as skin, that you'd stepping upon them, so then tahorim, then they're no longer like flesh. They don't become don't have tumas nevela, don't join together with the meat to give you the requisite shear. And that would be true as long as, the Bar Turner says, how long do I have to tread upon them? You spread them out for that long. The Bar Turner doesn't actually tell you what that is. But the Kati here says, it's how long do you have to step upon them? The amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, which is about 4 kilometers, about 4 halachic miles. Each mil is 2,000 amos. So that's 8,000 amos. Also, we call that a parsa. So if how long does it take to walk that? We assume 72 minutes. So if you trample upon them for 72 minutes, so then they have the status of that either. If you tan them, certainly. But even if you didn't tan them, but you trotted upon them kedei avoda for an hour and 12 minutes, so then they're tahor, they're considered like skin and not like basar. Chutz me'or ha'adam, except the skin of a human being. Now, why should that be different? After all, if I'm treating it as skin, you told me it has the status of basar. But and this tame mace like buser and joins together to equal the kazayas like the buser. But now that I treated his skin, yeah, let's say a person is hard to believe, but takes a human skin. Unfortunately, we've had this in our history and is being used make a rug or whatever it may be, and you trotted upon it or whatever it is, or you tan them. So why would they not have the status of ore? So the Gemara says this is a. Really mean HaTorah, it is Tahor. It doesn't have Tumah anymore, Tumas Nevela, whatever Tumah, or Tumas Mace, rather in this case, when it comes to Or Adam, if you trotted upon them or you tan them. Nonetheless, this was a Gzera de Rabban. What was the Gzera? We're afraid, the Chachamim were afraid, someone may make Gezeira, there's a language of the Gemara. Devar Torah or Adam Sheibdu Tahor. Umatama Mugzitame. Gezeira Shamayas Adam Oros Aviv Imo Shtichim. We're afraid a person wants to remember their parents and they'll bury the rest of the body, maybe, but they'll take the skin and make them into rugs. This way they'll be able to remember them. We don't want people to do that. So if people realize that the tumor remains, albeit Midrabanan, they're not going to do this. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Omer Shmona Shratzim Yeshla. And Oros. So he argues with what we said before. He says that the skin of all of the eight Shratzim in Parsha Shmini, we don't consider the basar, the skin as basar, but rather the considered skin. And they don't give you tum at all. So we had on the list, but before, what do we have? So the Tanakhama left off the list. The Tanakhama says, what's on the list? Of where the basar, it's soft and the skin is like basar, anaka, koach, lita, and chomet. So what was not on the list? So the tzav, the achbar, the cholen, and tinshamis. So these, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is that no, all the four that the Tanakhama had on the list should be off the list. None of them should be on the list. None of them have a skin has the status of basar. They all have the status of skin, and therefore they would not, the skin itself would not convey tumah sharis to something else. It's important to note that this issue, this machlokus regarding the skins of the shratzim, do we include? Rabbi Yehuda had an opinion. He said, no, the chol, the latar should be off the list. Only three on the list, Chach Tanakhama, four on the list, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, none should be on the list that the flesh is like, the skin is like the flesh. But when it comes to Malacha of Shabbos, if you wound, which is one of that's where these are, Shmona Shratzim are discussed. If a person causes a wound in one of these Shratzim on Shabbos, so that applies only to creatures that have skin. So the Tanakhama agrees that the skin of all the eight shratzim are considered skin and not basar, in the sense that the halacha of wounding on Shabbos would apply to them.